I am, my heart is full. I was walking around here just really full of hope and faith and joy and expectation of the Lord and what He's doing in the world, what He's doing in my life, what He's doing in our life, and also a bit of compassion. There's a number of people just in our community, in our fellowship alone, and then in, you know, just related to us, that are going through hard times. You know, people that have lost loved ones very recently. I think of a couple off the top of my head. People, well, there's someone with a son-in-law who just had a stroke. I think that was yesterday. So there's, you know, illness. And I know for some of us also, this holiday season that kicks off at Thanksgiving is not necessarily exciting. For some people, the holiday season is painful. People that have had painful family situations or are separated from loved ones or just a number of things that go on. I'm aware of that, and I think it's good as a community that we keep that in mind as we care for people. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. And as I said in my email, we bind it all together, overcover it all with the love that God provides for us. We give to each other. And that way, we walk together in community, and we're blessed, and the Lord's glorified. So if you are struggling during the holiday season from, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas, just know that we care and that there's people that love you. And we're kind of spread far apart in this room, but if you get us in a house, we'll be crammed together, and we'll hug each other, and we'll pray. If you're not in one of the small groups, the home groups, I really, really strongly encourage you, look on the back of the program. It's really so helpful to build relationship, especially when you hit a time of need. If you've invested and built relationship, that's when it pays off. And guess what? Your time of need is coming. I promise you that. Everyone will face difficulty. It's just a fact. So anyway, happy Thanksgiving weekend to you. Our family had a great time. We have leftovers. I'm still eating turkey and cherry pie, my favorite. If you ever wondered what to get me, cherry pie. Bring it. A la mode, even better. But pumpkin and apple and pecan, all good. Do y'all have a favorite pie? Okay, apple, favorite pie, hands up. Caramel apple, that'll count. How about peach? Really? Three peaches, four peaches. Pumpkin? Pecan. Well, a pecan gets applause, okay. What else is there? Cherry, back to cherry. Okay. Blue, boysenberry.
Sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie, really? Really? We're going to have a riot now. Okay, well, today I'm kicking off an Advent series. It's not super traditional. Kim referred to this program, this devotional that I printed up last night and had put in the program for you. So this is it's actually a six-week devotional designed to go from the four Sundays before Christmas, and then one on Christmas Day, and then one on New Year's. And I think normally the Advent devotionals and the Advent kind of things you do, if you do candles and all that, traditionally we'll talk about hope, love, joy, and peace, and walk through the days in preparation for Christmas Day, for the birth of Jesus. This isn't quite like that. This talks about various blessings, and it's called Receive the Blessing, and it's all about receiving the love of Jesus. And it's put out by the Vineyard. You can see their logo on the bottom. So I just encourage you to grab this and use it. I'm going to kind of follow along with the themes. I'm not going to follow completely, but I'm going to use it. So you'll see some correspondence as we do Sunday to Sunday, and that might kind of make the whole month interesting for you. Helpful. Blessing. Also, a great resource to give to someone. I put a stack out on the back table out there. If you have friends that are thinking about what Christmas might really mean, Christmas is all around. You go to the mall, you might hear on the radio, "He rules the world with truth and joy." You know, you hear the proclamation of the gospel at Christmas time. It's a unique opportunity, people. Uniquely open door for us to share the goodness of Jesus. So pay attention. Look for opportunities. If you see a door crack open, press through it. Open the door and look for opportunities to talk about the reason for the season, you know, wear the little badge, whatever you want, whatever you can do to tell people about the greatness of Jesus, please do. And you could use this for that. Also, so Kim referred to the flyer for Josh Hamas, is his name. Josh and Jenny are going to be here. They would be with us today, but they had a family thing that they couldn't get out of. Josh has been a youth pastor in our area, most recently at Vineyard North in Oceanside, and I got to spend a lot of time with him last week at a Vineyard Leaders Retreat. Great guy. Very interesting story of his fall in, his spiral really downward into a life of drug addiction that he told me if it weren't really for God's providential, miraculous work, he'd right now be serving a 15-year sentence for some things that his drug abuse took him into. But the Lord had mercy. He'll tell you the story how that worked out. And he ended up at Teen Challenge and became a preacher for Jesus afterward. And he's just a delightful guy. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. But I'd really encourage you to bring a friend. If you've got people in your life that are dealing with drug issues, this would be a good time to bring them. And it will be related to the Advent series. We're going to be talking about next week would be about the gift of, or the blessing of living water, and that's really what he found. So he'll kind of preach that message through through testimony. In Luke 15, he says, you know, I'm a modern-day prodigal. So take advantage of that. And then I put a poster out in the back. There's so much life happening this month. We have events, all sorts of things for us to invite people to. Fun, fellowship, music, food, Christmas Eve, concerts, movie, ways for us to stay connected with our community. The design is for you and I to be helping people to become followers and lovers of Jesus and to be incorporated into his family, the body of Christ. Whether here at our church family or one of the many great church families around our county, there's tons of great groups. So partner with me in that, if you could. So let's pray, and we'll dive into an intro to this Advent series. Father, our God, how we love you. How we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah, that we celebrate on Christmas and this whole season. Thank you that the atmosphere around the world gets charged with the presence of God as people everywhere think about Jesus, baby Jesus, born. Lord, we pray that you would honor your word today by anointing me to speak and us to hear, that you'd do that miracle of preaching where you take the simple word and you provide resource to the heart of everyone who's listening. Do that today, would you? Let the Spirit of God and the power of God be on this message, we pray, to transform us, to enlighten us, to empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the kind of the main thing that I hope is a take-home today and this month is for you and I to have a better grasp of, a deeper understanding of, and especially a fuller experience of the very love of God. Advent, do you know what that word means? Clue, it's in your notes. You have a handout that looks like this. Let's try again. Let's see who's smart. Does anyone know what Advent means? Whoa, you guys are smart. Good job, Paul, especially Paul, the sound booth, yeah. Advent is a Latin word, and it means literally coming. And Christmas is about love, God's love, coming to find us. Coming in pursuit of us. And you know, I think you've heard the phrase from the Bible, God is love. John wrote that. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. John, the great friend of Jesus. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. God is love, and God has come to us. That's what we're celebrating. And of course, by the way, if you're wondering, doesn't he know that Jesus probably wasn't born in December? Yes, I know that. I know that the Romans, after they converted kind of nationally to Christianity, picked a day, and they picked even a pagan day and made it the day they'd celebrate the birth of Jesus. I know all that, and it happened long ago. But around the world, we celebrate the birth of Jesus during this season. We call it Christ Mass. So just be okay with that, okay? And we're going to talk about Advent, the coming of God's love at Christmas season. God is love. God has come to be with us in his love. And this I didn't put in your notes, but I just want you to think about this phrase. God often sends his love in packages that we don't recognize. God often sends his love in packages that we don't recognize. And that's what happened when Jesus came. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 1. I put in your notes, I think at verse 21, I'm going to back up a couple of verses. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, Matthew records. His mother Mary, who was probably a teenager, maybe 15 or 16, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Do you suppose that Joseph was thinking right then, oh, God is sending his love to me? No, my fiancée is pregnant and I'm not the father. And she's crazy because she says God did it. Right. Wouldn't you? But he's a good man and a kind man, and he's going to divorce her. In their culture, to be engaged or in this way was pretty close to marriage. There was a contract, there was a binding covenant. So there would have to be a dissolution of that with divorce. So he had in mind to not expose her to public disgrace, but just to quietly divorce her. But after he considered this is so amazing, just think of this really happened, and I think it really happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Have you ever had that happen, by the way? I've had God speak to me in dreams. Just is awesome. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. By the way, Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yeshua is the Hebrew way to say it. And Jesus was Hebrew. Jesus was Jewish, of course, and Joseph was Jewish. So he heard Yeshua, Yahweh saves. He will be called Jesus. He will be called Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I'm telling you, I don't think you and I conceive of the depth of meaning of that phrase, Emmanuel, God with us. God is love. God has come to be with you. And you and you and every individual. It is us, yes, all the people of all time, of all the world, but yes, you individually as well. God loves you. God has come to be with you in your need, in your hurt. Love, I wrote in the notes here, could be defined. Love is hard to define. If you ask someone, what is love? They'll, you know, I do this when I'm going to do premarital counseling people. What do you think love is? And I get all sorts of interesting answers. Lots of different ways that people think of love, but for today, let's try this definition. Love could be defined as the desire and the accompanying action to do good and to bring blessing to the one who's loved. So think of it, now reread that with God is love. God has the desire and the accompanying action to do good to you and to bless you. Therefore, he sent Jesus. So now, 1 John 3:16 and 1 John 4:9 through 12 is going to talk about the love of God and God's plan to desire and in action bring his love to you and me. This is how we know what love is. Action. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I said God often sends love in packages that we don't recognize. This is not what the people of Jesus' time were hoping for. They said to themselves, if God loved us, surely he would send a Messiah who could be a warrior and conquer the occupying government of Rome and set us free from this bondage. You know, Rome, superpower of the world, was expanding and it would overtake nations as they existed and then send ambassadors or apostles from Rome itself to establish the Roman culture in the occupied territory. Just picture yourself as an American if another nation, China, conquered our nation and sent ambassadors from China to establish their culture here and try to wipe out our culture. How would you feel? And God says, I'm going to love you. And his solution, his way of saying, I love you, I desire to bless you, I desire to do good to you, is to send someone who comes and doesn't conquer the oppressing nation, but conquers sin in our hearts. And in this way shows us the real love that we need. See, people will ask you, if God is loving, how can he let fill in the blank? You've heard this question, right? How does God show his love? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We're usually thinking if God loves, then he will prevent difficulty, he'll eliminate pain, he'll take away suffering, he'll make bad things not happen and make good things happen. That's kind of our mentality. And some of that is true. But how does God show love? How does God express his desire to do good and bless me with accompanying action? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that I might live through him. That's love. Whatever you're facing right now that's painful, whatever loss you're having to endure, where you're looking for God's love to come and help you, this is how God shows his love to you. He sends Jesus, his Son, so that you might live through Jesus. That's love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. That's the thing that we talked about last week, where the blood of Jesus was the only thing, the only possibility in all of the universe to atone, to make at one, to make us one with God and restore our broken relationship with each other. Atonement. Jesus was sent at Christmas. Well, not at Christmas, but we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus was sent, born of a virgin, in order to go to a cross, to shed his blood, so that there would be atonement. My sins would be forgiven. My sins would be cleansed. By that blood, I would be made holy. By that blood, I would be granted entrance into the presence of God. By that blood, I'd have power over all the works of Satan. By that blood, I'd be one with God. By that blood, I would live through Jesus. That is what love is. That's what Christmas is about. What's the reason for this season? Well, the love of God. God is love. God has come to be with us. But love expressed is not always love received. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever had someone that you just love and you express your love and they can't get it? Isn't that frustrating? Who's had that happen? Just a few of us. Really? Think a little longer. I bet if you've been alive very long, you've loved someone who, because of their brokenness, because of their past hurts, because maybe their family upbringing, are not able to receive your love. You know that most of us learn about what love is by our first family. And many of us had a kind of experience where we had to earn love, had to prove our way, right? And if we didn't perform well, we didn't receive approval. And if we did perform well, we did receive approval sometimes. And we think that's love. And that's not love, of course. And yet we've seen some movies and we saw someone unconditionally loving someone. And we what's your favorite Christmas movie? Elf. I was going to say Elf, right? So, wasn't Buddy loving? And he wasn't always loved back, was he? Okay. Oh, Buddy and Elf, I love him. Love expressed is not always love received. And you and I have a problem fully receiving the love of God. It's a difficulty because of where we come from, because of a number of things. I wrote this in your notes, like a heat-seeking missile, love has come to find us. But we have a problem. We are love-challenged. You could have a t-shirt that says, I'm love-challenged. The reality of sin has broken our capacity to receive love. Sin is a reality. I take you back to Genesis chapter 3, the story of the first sin. What a bummer to have that written for all eternity. Adam and Eve. Sorry, guys. They'd been made in God's image, been put in paradise, had one stinking rule. Don't eat from the fruit of this tree. You can have any other fruit you want. But of course, as anyone who's been a parent knows, if you say don't eat from here, where do they go? They stand close to that cookie jar. And they look at it, and Satan comes along and says, doesn't that look good? It will make you wise. It will make you like God. No, God said we shouldn't eat. Oh, God's holding back on you. But if you listen to me, you slithers. So they did. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord after they'd sinned walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. First thing that happens with sin, hiding from God. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Now, do you think God knew where they were? But he wanted them to deal with it. Where are you? Where are you? God probably calls to me sometimes and says, Ron, where are you? I was hiding. I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Because the man and woman weren't clothed yet. So they sewed fig leaves. Great fashion statement, fig leaves to cover their nakedness. I was naked, so I hid. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman that you... you know it's coming if you're married, right? The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit, so of course I ate it. By the way, he said, the woman that you gave me. God says to the woman, what have you done? She goes, well, the snake. The point is, in one moment when Adam could have said, oh God, I have sinned against you. I disobeyed. Have mercy on me. I wonder what would have happened. But instead, he knows two people. He knows God and he knows his wife. So he blames both of them. God, the woman that you gave me, I'm innocent. And we make fun, but that's exactly what sin does. And what are the two most important things, the two eternal things, the two things that Jesus said, everything in the entire Bible hangs on these two things. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The two things that Adam had, he had one God and one neighbor, his wife. And relationship was busted this way and this way. That's why love expressed is not always love received, because we are love challenged because of sin. Christmas is about fixing this. Look at the front of your notes again, John 4:9. This is how God showed his love to us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Christmas is about restoring my relationship with God and restoring my relationship with you. Because if God is the one through whom I live, I will have relationship with you and I will have relationship with God. And this is what Christmas is all about, and this is what we're talking about at Advent. Receive his blessing. Receive his blessing. Love God, love your neighbor, and share it with the world. I put in your notes, because I didn't know how long I would do, and I just left myself open, some of the other stories in the Bible. We could read every encounter in the Bible of a person with God, and we'd see this story laid out, played out in some fashion or another. Every story. It's about how people respond to God's love. It's really fascinating. It really boils down simply. One, since we're at Christmas time, want to take a look at this beginning of the Christmas story with me? Say yes, it'll make me feel better. Okay, thank you. So if you have a Bible, I didn't give Matt the notes to put this up, but if you have a Bible, you could open it to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1, not everyone knows the Christmas story anymore, so maybe we ought in the church ought to read the Bible and learn the story again. It starts in Jerusalem with an old couple named who? Who knows? Thank you, Caleb, Bible scholar there. Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, this is Luke writing, and he always, as a historian, gives us some secular time points so people can know, oh yeah, that was the year that Herod was the king of Judea, and that was around 4 BC, by the way. There was a priest named Zechariah, a Jewish priest. He belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, also a descendant of Aaron. Aaron being the one who was the leader of the tribe of Levi, and the Levitical priesthood was up from his descendants. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Wow, I wish you could say that about me. Amazing people, very holy, very righteous, very into doing the right thing, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Which is probably a nice way to say they were really old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Remember that picture we looked at last week with the temple? So he's going to that in front of the curtain. He's burning the incense before the Lord there. in the holy place. When the time for burning the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now check it out. This is a story of love expressed but not received. So he's a praying man. He's a righteous man. He wishes he had a son. An angel of the Lord appears. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. He's probably thinking, oh snap, I'm toast. My sins have come before God. That's what I would be thinking, wouldn't you? He's not thinking, God loves me and he sent an angel to show his love to me. He's probably thinking, oh no. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. Listen to this message. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or fermented drink. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel who have been brought back to the Lord their God, he'll go on before the Lord who's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, Zechariah is a priest. He knows the Bible. He knows that this angel is quoting to him from Isaiah. It's an amazing prophecy. The angel of the Lord standing there. And Zechariah doesn't believe it. And he, because of his fear, because of his disappointment, because of his hope, long hardening his heart to where he's just kind of hunched over with no joy. Have you ever been there? Love expressed is not always love received. God is love. God has come with his love. Emmanuel has come. God comes to Zechariah. Zechariah says to the angel, well, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. In other words, he's talking to an angel. Hello? Do you see it? And he goes, well, how do I know you're telling the truth? Which is insane to me. The angel answered, I wish I could have seen his face. I am Gabriel. This is like the big one. This is the one that went to, this is the messenger angel. You see him in Daniel's book. He's like, this is a big deal. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. If it were modern, he'd be saying, I'm seeing this and I want to see this. And so I'm going to give you this. And do you know this story? So Zechariah now can't speak for 9 months. I love this story. This is how Christmas starts. Fast forward 9 months. He has gone home. He and Elizabeth have made love in their old age. She's pregnant now. She's overjoyed. 9 months later, when it was time for Elizabeth to give birth to her baby, she gave birth to her son. And just like the angel said, joy filled the neighborhood. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared their joy. It's a party in their neighborhood. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, which is the Jewish custom. They're going to name him after his father, Zechariah, which was also the custom. But his mother said, no, his name's going to be John. They said, well, there's no one among your relatives named John. Then they made signs to his father, what should you like to call the child? And he said, give me a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment. Now, at this point, he believes the angel. And I just think when he writes, his name is John, it's such an expression of completeness. Love has come to me, and I'm going to receive it now. I'm going to receive it now. I believe it. Everything that was promised. I have a son. His name is John. He'll go before the Lord. And as he writes, his name is John, what happens? He can talk, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know if you've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Anyone ever experienced just a baptism? Oh, does it feel good? It's the Romans 5 says that that experience is the love of God shed in our hearts, shed abroad in our hearts, poured out on us. He was like liquid love comes over John right now. His name is John. Everyone's astonished, and immediately his mouth is open, and he began to speak, praising God. Love has come, now it's received. The neighbors are filled with awe. Throughout the whole country of Judea, people are talking about these things. Everyone heard about it, wondering what's going to happen with this child. So Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. You like this story? Okay, so I'll keep going then. Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies this prophecy both about his son that's just been born and about the Messiah who's coming. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he's redeemed his people, speaking about something that is to come as though it's already happened. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, the Messiah promised. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to Abraham. Remember how we've read that God came to Abraham like 3,000 years before this, or not 3,000, 3,500 years before our time. So about 1,500 years before this. And said, Abraham, I'm going to bless the entire world through your children. I've called you to bless you and to be a blessing through you and through your seed. And now it's fulfilled. To rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, he holds his son, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him. What Gabriel had told him, now he's speaking prophetically. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit and lived in the desert until he appeared publicly before Israel. Don't you love that story? I love the beginnings of the Christmas story. Later on, of course, Jesus is going to be born and it's going to get even better. Just note the Pharisees, where they were self-satisfied, self-religious, self-righteous, and hardened to the love of God. All but a few rejected the love that God sent through Jesus. But Christmas is about the blessing of God, love received. We could go on more and more stories. I've just mentioned a few. Maybe if you want to read, go read the story of Elizabeth, which is sandwiched in the sections I read in Luke 1, verse 23 through 56 for your homework tonight. Read the story of Elizabeth and Mary and how they received with joy love that came to them. Because we're looking for how we can receive the love of God. Look at Luke 7, one of my favorite stories, that woman who had a reputation for being a sinful woman. But God's love came to her, and she poured it back out on Jesus, pouring the perfume on his feet. That's a great story. Don't have time to read it today, but let me just say this. Seems to me the key is to be humble and poor in spirit, full of faith and full of hope, for you to receive the outpouring of God's love. So experiencing God's love at Christmas, here's some thoughts. The best blessing is God's love with skin on, a real, tangible expression of all the characteristics of love, affection, affirmation, commitment, consistency, selflessness, presence, and unconditional acceptance. Look at that list again, affection, affirmation. I affirm you, God would say to me and you. Commitment, I'm committed to you to the end. Consistency, there's no wavering in God, no shadow of turning, James would write. Always the same, always loving, always there, never turning, never doubting, always faithful. Selflessness, presence, God's presence, his nearness, and unconditional acceptance. So Jesus comes to his disciples, John 15 is recorded, as the Father has loved me. Listen to Jesus talking to you, if you're a disciple of Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. I love you. In the same way that God the Father loves God the Son says, I love you. So the Christmas story, again from your notes, is the most powerful expression we have. The most powerful expression of blessing in all of human history. God expressed his love to women and men, to children everywhere. His blessing in the physical, personal, prophetic person of Jesus Christ. He's the gift to be received. God is love. Love has come. Love is to be received. In the fullness of time. At the right time. At the right time in your life. Love has come. Whatever trouble, I said it before, I say it again, whatever trouble, pain, suffering, loss, difficulty you are facing right now, at the right time, love, Jesus, has come to you. Receive my love. Galatians, it's worth reading, Galatians 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full right of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You guys, this is so important. So important. The only way to love others is to receive the love of God ourselves. Our primary job, I really think, is to learn how to receive the Father's love. What I just read is that God has put the Spirit of his Son in me, in you, so that we could be sons and daughters of the Father. The way that Jesus could call him Abba, Daddy, Papa, God, and receive the fullness of his affection. His Spirit has come in you and me when we receive Jesus to receive the love of the Father. And there's nothing like it. It is the answer to every problem. Love is not always packaged in a way that we can recognize. We'd like our problems to be resolved, but maybe instead God puts his Spirit in my heart and your heart so that we can receive the Spirit of sonship and daughtership. Father, let us experience your love. Super important. Super important. Romans says it this way. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I was ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man through a good man, though for a good man someone might die, but God demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. It's the right time to receive God's love. So here's the story. You may be in here and you've never made Jesus your Lord. By receiving his love, by saying, yes, I put you in charge of my life. I want you to forgive my sins and be my Lord. But you may have done that and still aren't living in the full expression, the full experience of his love. That we walk out day to day.